You're listening to a podcast from Toronto Celebration Church in Toronto, Ontario. It's our hope through the Word of God that you're built up in faith and drawn closer to our Savior and Healer, Jesus Christ. As you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray the Holy Spirit will use this message powerfully in your life.
Anyhow, so that's why, falling off that. Today's Pentecost Sunday, and we've talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. We're continuing that from another perspective here this afternoon. This morning was more practical details about it, because I really wanted to give our morning audience this. In the afternoons, you know, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for some time now. And so today, this afternoon, this morning I gave more of a practical teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, some practical stuff. This afternoon, I wanted to take it from another angle and actually look at something Jesus said, and it links to an Old Testament prophecy, and we see the benefits in our lives today from it. And so recognize that in the afternoon. I understand, because I've done some basic teachings on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We prayed last week, about receiving it, receiving the baptism, speaking in other tongues. And so today I wanted to give more of the benefit of it rather than just exhorting to speak in tongues. Does that make sense? This morning, it was more of an exhortation, a gracious exhortation. And, I personally, at least, love the point that we have to be careful always, if in a charismatic church like ours, not to have this mentality that if you speak in tongues, you're at a different level than everybody else. We can't have that type of spiritual elitism. Listen, if you're part of the Celebration Church, whether you speak in tongues or not, you're on the same level, okay? You know what I'm saying? So don't ever think that there's this type of hierarchy in the things of the Lord or at least in the eyes of our church. There is none. Whether you choose to embrace the gift or not, we love you all the same, all right? But at the same time, Jesus spoke about it, so we speak about it in a very gracious tone. And I recognize that, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, wouldn't have operated in the gifts of the Spirit. I absolutely wouldn't. It's by His grace. And so if we have a haughty attitude about that, we've missed the whole point. God's grace should make us very humble and say, if it wasn't for God's grace, I wouldn't even be here. Amen? So let us never, I know there's a haughty type of charismatic Christianity. We want to kick that out every which way we can. All right? That makes sense? But at the same time, we want to preach it strong because there's great benefit to our lives. Amen. And so, I know in my life, I wouldn't be here today without that gift in my life. I grew up, I shared that story this morning, but how I grew up in a church where it was, the speaking in tongues was devil's language. And so someone came to me in the lobby and you relate to me about that. In fact, you came from a different country. The person's not here this afternoon, but he came from a different country and, it was very normal to be operating the gifts of the Spirit. And he went to a Bible school here in Canada, and the Bible school didn't flow in the gifts of the Spirit, and they didn't know he spoke in tongues and flowed in the gifts of the Spirit. And so they warned him. They said, don't go to this church across the street. This was in Alberta, so don't worry about it. You don't know who it was. But they said, don't go to the church across the street because they're devil worshipers. And, of course, they meant they spoke in other tongues. So I'm not here to poke fun. If that's, I understand. If that's your background and understanding, it can be a sensitive, controversial thing. But the problem is that it's always been controversial. And so if we just avoid controversy, we're not going to be talking what Jesus talked. In fact, on the day of Pentecost, some thought they were drunk, some thought they were mad, but others believed. Amen? And so, anyhow, we talk about it, but very humbly. There's no hierarchy in the things of the Lord. Amen? But we want that of benefits to our lives. And so, Jesus talked about this. He was talking at a feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, and he said something that speaks to the benefit of the gifts of the Spirit in our lives today. Four different specific advantages for our lives. And so let's read it in John chapter 7, verse 37. The scripture says, on the last day, the great day of the feast. And the feast being spoken of was the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Hebrews had many feasts like we talked about this morning. They had the feast, his resurrection, his death, burial, and resurrection, Passover, fulfillment. Pentecost, the Feast of Harvest, fulfillment. But here's another feast. They had a lot of feasts, and another feast was the Feast of Tabernacle. And so here on the Feast of Tabernacle, Jesus stood up and cried. And what he's about to say speaks prophetically to our lives and speaks prophetically about the benefits of the baptism of the Holy Spirit for our lives today. And he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, we're going to take some meaning out of what the Feast of Tabernacles means. But first of all, as we taught this morning, notice what happens here. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me, believe and drink, right? So at salvation, you drink of the Spirit. At salvation, your thirst is quenched. You receive the one who quenches your thirst, right? At salvation. Salvation and baptism of the Holy Spirit are two separate works of the Spirit. But never wonder, do I have the Spirit if I haven't been baptized in the Spirit? No, you have the Spirit. The Scripture says you've been sealed with the Spirit. Amen? And so we've drunk, but there's another, the second work of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is about Jesus flowing through us to the world, through us to bless other people. Jesus in us, salvation. Jesus through me, baptism. Amen? God wants us to be a blessing to others. We're blessed to be a blessing. And so here we saw, Jesus said, you drink of the water, you'll never thirst. But then he said that will flow out of you like rivers of living water. And so the illustration that I used this morning was when, you know, if I take a glass of water, and I sure wish I had some water here today. I haven't drunk any all day. But anyhow, if I had some water, Danny's got some, you keep it there. That's okay. I'll last. But if I had some water, I drink it. It goes in me, right? It's in me. But then if I jump into a swimming pool, right? My son's taking swimming lessons. If I jump in with him, I get covered in water from head to toe, right? That's what the baptism is about. It's like that which is in me is now immersing every part of me, yeah? So the big deal, as I said this morning, the big deal of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not tongues. Tongues is a benefit, but it's not the big deal. The big deal of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an explosion of God's love, so immersing me in that reality of His life and His power that it transforms my life and I become a force in the world around me. I become a benefit in the world around me. Now, tongues is a sign that comes with it. Tongues is a tool, but it's not the big deal. The big deal is God's love exploding in our heart that makes us a witness. Jesus said, don't depart from this place until you've received, been clothed with power from on high, and you shall be witnesses. Amen? So don't get hung up on tongues, but it is a benefit. But of course, you know, like I said this morning, if we don't use it, you know, it's like, Oral's not here this afternoon. It's like Dawood gave me a hammer, right? You know, the tongues is like a tool that we're given, one of the many tools that a Christian's given. But if Dawood gives me a hammer, you know, it doesn't make me mean I'm a carpenter. It doesn't even mean that I know how to build a house. You know, so just because someone's received the gift of tongues, you still got to use it. Just receiving a gift means nothing really, other than that I got a gift. But if I don't use it, like Dawood's hammer, if I never, you know, I can roll up to church every Sunday, open my trunk, and look at my shiny hammer. Well, what good is it if I don't build a house? Anyhow, so don't negate the gift. You say, I know someone who has the gift and it has no value in their life. Well, you don't even know if they use it. You don't know if they know how to use the hammer, you know, but anyhow, but it is good value if you use it, all right? So back to Jesus' prophecy and how this speaks to our lives today. Jesus links this, what's happening, this Feast of Tabernacles, to how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. What does it mean for our lives today? Well, first of all, the Feast of Tabernacle was a celebration of God's provision and His protection. The Feast of Tabernacle was a reminder to the Hebrew people how God had provided for them in the wilderness. Their sandals never wore out, their food. They always had manna. Their food never wore out, their provision never wore out, their sandals didn't wear out, and He protected them. And so they celebrated this with the Feast of Tabernacles. They celebrated God's provision, say provision, and protection. That's what the Feast of Tabernacle, and they would do it every year. And so Jesus, it's no mistake that He stood up at the Feast of Tabernacle and speaks of the work of the Spirit in our lives. He's linking the two together. Eh? He's linking the two together. And this feast to the Hebrews was a reminder of provision and protection. And so He's linking the work of the Holy Spirit to God's provision and protection in our lives today. But it gets better. Say it gets better. See that the Feast of Tabernacles, they had certain ceremonies. They were big into ceremonies, pomp and circumstance. They put the Queen of England to shame. The King. The Queen is gone. But we love the Queen, right, Peter? We love the Queen. I haven't talked to him about the King, but my dad, being a monarchist, is not a big fan of the King right now. You know, he loves the Queen. But I'm not putting that in Peter and Joan's mouth. There are residents, monarchy experts, being from the UK. But anyhow, my dad's not a big fan of the King. But I'm indifferent, you know. But we'd all love the Queen, yeah. But they had pomp and circumstance, you know. And so at these feasts, there was much pomp and circumstance. What they would do at the Feast of Tabernacles, Maria's laughing at me. I'm not sure why. But anyhow, do you have a king or queen in Bulgaria, Maria? No, she's laughing even harder now. All right. So they would have a ceremony. We're back to the Feast of Tabernacles. They'd have a ceremony. It was called a water ceremony. And the priests would go and they'd take water from the pool of Siloam and they would pour it out as a sacrifice. It was part of the sacrifice, part of the ritual that they were a part of. They had many of these, right, in the Old Testament. So they would take water from the pool of Siloam. It was part of this Feast of Tabernacles, part of the celebration. Remember, it's this time of remembering God's provision and protection. And so they would bring out this water. And part of doing that, God would then bless their crops and bless them. Crops was how they made money in those days. So it was their provision. He would bless them the next year. It was part of God's provision and blessing in their lives over the next year. Does that make sense? And so, again, Jesus is linking the work of the Holy Spirit. He said he spoke concerning the Spirit whom they've not yet received. He's linking this provision and protection to the work of the Holy Spirit. And so the water ceremony, it was a time of, they believed in that agricultural setting for rain to come so that their crops would grow. And so the water was a picture of God's blessing on their crops and of his prosperity in their lives. You following me? I know it's a little bit deep. We're going to get practical here in a second. But Jesus is linking this to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. Thirdly, they took the water from the pool of Siloam. I already mentioned that, but this pool of Siloam was significant because it was surrounded by what they called the serpent rock. Say the serpent rock. And of course, the serpent is a picture of the enemy at work in our lives today. Yeah? The serpent is a picture of the enemy from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. And so here we see this pool of Siloam. Siloam means peace, shalom, well-being. We see this pool where they draw out water. Again, this is an actual feast, Hebrew feast that I'm talking about. But Jesus made this statement during this feast. They'd pull out the water out of the pool of Siloam that was surrounded by the serpent rock. And so what Jesus was saying is there'll be times in your life when there'll be evil surrounding you. The serpent, the evil surrounding you in life. But there is a place that you can go, the pool of Siloam, where you can draw out protection, where you can draw out provision, where you can draw out peace, where the work of the Lord is present in your lives. Amen? And if it was present there in the Old Testament setting or Old Covenant setting, how much more through Jesus today, who is our living water? Come on, that's a good time for a big amen. Yeah. That's why I like being close. I can really, get you fired up, or you get me fired up, talking to empty chairs doesn't get no one fired up, but anyhow, you get me fired up, so that's good. So my point is this, Jesus is linking the work of the Holy Spirit to this potential in our lives. So for example, there's times in our lives when we feel like our lives are surrounded by negativity, surrounded by evil, surrounded by the enemy. There, Jesus is linking us back to this reality that there is a river. Say, there's a river out of which flows life. And good news is that river's in us. He said, when you drink, that river will be in you. And God wants that river to flow up out of us into our lives. And that speaks to us spiritually, certainly, but also speaks to us physically, mentally, in our finances. Because if in the Old Testament this dealt with all those areas, how much more in the New Testament, yeah? Do you think Jesus doesn't care about our well-being, our finances, our families in the New Testament? No, of course he does. Amen? Salvation's all of those areas. And so this river being spoken of, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, he's saying when you're surrounded, the Holy Spirit is with you, you can draw that out. Now, how do we enjoy that benefit? So here we see that there is a benefit. The Holy Spirit is there to benefit you, to give you advantages, to give you opportunity when surrounded by the enemy. How do we enjoy that? Well, there's more truths we can draw out of this feast. Now, so we recognize where the living water is today. Where's the living water? I'm giving an exam now. Well, Jesus, yes, but Jesus is in me. Yeah, Jesus is in me. And Michelle's pastor's here in the front row. She really got it down. She's telling me here, yeah, it's in me. That's right. There we go. Got to check with the resident pastor here from Michelle's church in Buffalo, make sure it's correct. But Jesus in me, yeah? All right. She's smiling. So we're good. But Jesus, so where's that living water? Say, it's in me, yeah? So how do we get it from our hearts to our lives, right? That's what this is about. Jesus, the Feast of Tabernacles, the priest would go to the water and bring out the water, and in so doing, they would be blessed the following year. How do we get those rivers out of our lives, right? Because it's one thing to, have a Lamborghini in the garage, but you want to get that car out and drive it, right? Right, Peter? You love cars. I'm picking on Peter endlessly here today. I'm so sad. He'll never sit close to me ever again. But anyhow, I just don't know who else likes cars here. I'm not a big car guy. Maybe David loves cars. But anyhow, it's one thing to have a Lamborghini, but you'll want to get it out of the garage, right? So it's one thing to have these living waters in us, but we want them out of us. And so, again, what happened at the feast? Well, the feast would carry the water out, and as they carried the water, they would shout praises unto the Lord. They blow their shofar. shofar, and they'd shout praises, Hosanna. They'd sing wonderful praise and worship, if you want to call it that, whatever you want to call it. They did it in a different way back then, I understand. But they would shout, they would praise and give thanks as they drew out this river that spoke provision and protection for their lives. This speaks to us today. Why? I'll give you three examples. Isaiah chapter 12. We're told, joyfully, you'll pull up buckets of water. There, remember, Jesus linked the water to blessing in our lives. From the wells of salvation. Where does that wells of salvation abide? In our hearts, right? Jesus said, you drink of me, you'll have rivers of living water. From the wells of salvation, body, soul, and spirit. I added that just for emphasis' sake. And as you do, you'll say, give thanks to God. In other words, you see, you know, that's why we always exhort. You know, when we give God thanks, we're not doing it to make God happy, although he is happy by that. He's honored by that, and we want to honor him because he's amazing. But at the same time, there's a great benefit. We are drawing out of our hearts, the scripture says, this benefit, blessing to our lives today. That's an example from the book of Isaiah. I'll get to New Testament examples, of course. But you know, it's a very powerful thing when surrounded by the serpent. Remember, this pool of Siloam was surrounded by the serpent rock. When you're surrounded by the serpent, the enemy, the adverse circumstances, could be that's where you are today. It's a powerful thing to choose to give God thanks in that scenario. Bad doctor's report, but I thank you that you're my healer, right? Bad report in my finances, but God, I thank you that you're my provider, yeah? I've stumbled and fallen, but God, I thank you that you are my forgiveness. You are my righteousness. You are the one who gets me up again, yeah? Keep thanking him. It's not just mind over matter. This is drawing on the wells of salvation that are within. The priests, if it worked in the Old Testament, how much more in the New Covenant, amen? And it was Jesus who linked this together. And it's the scriptures teach. In fact, Jesus taught us that it's our mouth that releases the living water. Matthew 18, the thing that comes out of a person's mouth comes from the heart. So our mouth draws out of our heart. Now, of course, this isn't just, we're not concocting or creating something. This isn't just mindless confession so that God will do. We have to recognize, that's why we teach New Covenant realities here at Celebration Church, to recognize you have the living waters in you. You're not aspiring to it. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And now it's our opportunity to draw on those wells of water. Amen? To draw upon them. So you're feeling dry. Draw upon those waters. Draw upon that. Water the ground of your life, your mind, your emotions. We can do that in our emotions as we give him thanks, as we draw that up out of our mouths. And Paul gave us another example, more proof. Say more proof. When he said in Ephesians 5, he said, keep on being, I preached this morning, but it's a great verse, we could preach it every Sunday, but keep on being, it's an ongoing tense, keep on being or be being filled with the Spirit. That's not meaning that, you know, the Spirit in you, you are sealed with him. It's talking about that Spirit through you into our lives, being immersed daily in the things of the Spirit. Keep on being immersed in the things of the Spirit. And that word filled, it means to cause to abound, to supply liberally. How many want the Spirit to abound and to be liberally supplied in our lives? Yeah? He says, keep on being. And then he says the very next verse. He says, how? Speaking. Go put up the next verse, it's fine. Say speaking. Be being filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking. Say it louder, say.
Speaking.
I'll say it again. Be being filled. How?
Speaking.
Same as what we read in Isaiah. Matthew linked to it. Jesus prophesied about it, drawing it out. Speaking. Be being filled, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. That speak singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We'll pause for a second. That speaks of, and I gave more examples of that this morning, but of tongues, but also English or Amharic or whatever your native tongue is, yeah? Portuguese, yeah? There you go. Whatever your native tongue is, Dutch. But I'm going to stop now, by the way. But Macedonian, okay, sorry, I'm going to get caught, I'm going to get carried away here. But we're talking about known tongue versus unknown tongue. It's both. That's why you don't have to say, well, you know, if I don't have the gift of, if I don't even receive tongues yet, does it mean I can't do this? No, it says, you know, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, you can do that in your understanding too. It's just, you know, again, tongues is a tool of many. It's a great tool. I taught on the benefits of it this morning. I'll probably mention some more this afternoon, but it's a great tool. But it doesn't mean if you don't have it, you can't make the most of this. You can still give thanks, can't you? No? You can give thanks, right, Susan? Yeah? No, she's nodding at me. That's why I wouldn't. But we can all give thanks. God, I thank you. You've been good to me. I thank you. And I didn't deserve it. You healed. But I mean, on and on and on. Drawing. The Spirit. being filled with the Spirit. And then it says in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not filling time when we give thanks to the Lord. We're not filling time. There's an act of drawing out those waters. The waters, again, that were linked in this pool of Siloam in this Feast of Tabernacle to blessing and provision in their lives. And giving thanks is drawing these living waters into our daily lives. That's a good little thing to do every day. Just take a praise break, especially when you're feeling sour. On the 401 and they just cut you off. I know Johanna is so peaceful, she would never get angry, but you just want to take a little praise break, huh? Thank you, Jesus. Just do that right now. Just lift up your hands. Take a praise break. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Just you speak. Oh, Father, you're so good to us, so gracious. You've called us. You've equipped us. You've appointed us. Father, we thank you today. Oh, Father, I thank you. Yeah, amen. So we can do that anytime. We're drawing living waters. We're drawing that which you can take your hands down. That's a good praise break. Hey, give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Yeah. We're drawing. We can see that picture from this example of the Feast of Tabernacles. So Jesus links this positive effect in our lives to the role the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. That's what we're talking about, how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Now, we come to the gifts of the Spirit, and there are 9 specific gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to list them just because we don't always talk about them, so I'm going to talk about them today, and I'll give an example of them. But the reason I'm doing so is because these gifts are linked to God working in our lives, these advantages. For example, there's the word of wisdom, which is an application of knowledge. I'm going to pause there for a moment. I said something this morning, and I think it's something I've been really meditating on a lot lately. You know, we live in an absolute information overload age, don't we? You can find out how to do anything you want. You know, we used to say Google, and then now, of course, it's ChatGPT. Anybody familiar with ChatGPT? Just learn it. I just learned it too. Yeah. I mean, nowadays, you can even put, give me a 3-point sermon on the Holy Spirit. It'll literally write it for you. That's what it, and I didn't do that today, don't you? In 3 to 5 seconds, yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. If you want a thesis on what you're studying, don't do that, girls at school. But if you want to, they could literally get their thesis just done for them like that. It's unbelievable. My point, however, is despite all that information that is at our fingertips, we really often don't know how to apply it. You know what I mean? Take mental health. We have books, thousands and thousands and thousands of books out there on how to have good mental health, and it seems like it's at its all-time low. Yeah? And yet we're told we have information by the truckload coming at us. Somehow we don't know how to apply it. Yeah? I was talking to somebody in this church, and they were, you know, and we were having a good time chatting, by the way, and it occurred to me, you know, the Bible gave us 3 real simple ways to have good mental health. Cast your care upon Him. Yeah, don't worry about it. Rejoice in the Lord. In other words, think about His promises. And then just give thanks. You do those 3 things, you're going to be such a positive, mentally whole person. But we lack the ability to actually apply it, don't we? Yeah? And take even us Christians. I forgot that point this morning. But even us Christians, I mean, we got 24/7 Christian TV. We got hundreds of channels now. I mean, we've never been more informed Christians in the entire eternity of Christianhood for the last 2,000 years, right? We got internet, we got TV, we've got it coming. I mean, we know everything now. But do I know how to apply it? And I've discovered, at least in my life, the gift to know how to apply something is far more valuable than all the info in the world. I can stuff my head with so much info. And information's good, by the way. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. We need him. Thank God, Dawood's studying for his master's in some type of engineering. But anyhow, you know, it's good to do that. We must do that, yeah? I'm not saying to forsake school. That's not my point. But there's that act of applying what I've learned. And even as Christians. So anyhow, the gift of wisdom there, go put that back up there. It kind of links to that, although I know it's referring to a specific gift, but it's the application of knowledge. You can go ahead and put that back up. The gift of wisdom. Yep, back up there. You head it up. There we go. Perfect. The word of wisdom, the application of knowledge. That's a gift of the Spirit. The word of knowledge. So how many know that's a great benefit? If I have the word of wisdom in my life, how to apply the knowledge that I've been given, that's a great benefit. I take that as one of the great. For me, I guess, go back to that time and time again. I know so much, and you do too. But how to apply it? How to have the motivation to do it? Yeah? So the word of, I thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. You see, the gifts of the Spirit aren't just when we come to church on Sunday. It's for our everyday life. Word of knowledge, receiving facts supernaturally by the Spirit. Thank God for that gift. 3, discerning of spirits. It's good to have that if you're in business, to discern if someone's trying to manipulate you and misuse you. Perceiving the source of manifestation or motives. I mean, you're grateful for that. You're looking to marry somebody, right? To know their motives, right? So thank God for these gifts. Tongues, a supernatural means of communication. Again, I taught a lot of benefits of that this morning, but it's a great gift. 5, interpretation of tongues, translation of divine utterances into recognizable language. I'm grateful for that gift. And that's speaking of that gift that happens in a corporate setting where someone gives a word in tongues and then there is an interpretation of it. It's different than the believer's tongues that we pray on our own. Paul said, you know, he prays in tongues more than you all, but in public he said, I'd rather speak five words of understanding. He's talking about believer's tongues that we all receive. But then there's this gift of tongues where we give a word and there's an interpretation. Prophecy, which is revelation for edification, to build up or to strengthen. Prophecy, revelation for edification, to build up, to strengthen. And that can happen, when you're prophesying over something, you don't even have to say, thus says the Lord. You can just feel led in your heart that this person needs a word or an encouragement, and you speak that over them. You don't have to say, I'm prophesying over you now. You can if you want to, but if they're open to that, if you think they would rather, I prophesy, you know, you can, but it also can just be very subtle. You can just allow the Lord to work through you. Amen? Speaking an edification to somebody. Another gift of the Spirit, faith, the God-given ability to believe Him for the impossible. And that's different than simply the believer's faith that we all operate in, but there's this moment or time when the gift of faith operates for the impossible. And that's something that we can function in. Healings, number eight, healings, restoration, that's very self-explanatory, the restoration of health, the gift of healings. And number nine, the working of miracles, divine creative acts, a supernatural occurrence against the laws of nature. So these are nine wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit. And again, I'm linking these to what Jesus taught in the Feast of Tabernacles. These are for our advantage in our lives today. Each of these gifts are living waters meant to help us and meant to bless our lives. And Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 12, he said in verse 31, earnestly desire the best gifts. We're told to desire them. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not going to force them upon us. Well, Louisa, you must have this, so he's going to force you. But no, we're told to desire the gifts. And that's why, you know, you might know the most lovely person, but they don't want anything to do with the gifts of the Spirit. But that shouldn't preclude that the gifts of the Spirit are a possibility. They just don't desire them. And the Holy Spirit's not going to force them on anybody. We have to desire the gifts. And desire, it says, the best gifts. You say, well, what's the best gift? The Holy Spirit ranks the gifts? No, I would say the best gift is the gift that's needed in the situation that you're facing, right? These gifts are meant to help you in the affairs of life or in ministering and helping people. And so whatever gift is relevant in that scenario, that's the best gift for you in that moment. If somebody needs a word of knowledge, the best gift in that moment is the word of knowledge, yeah? If they need a healing, the best gift in that moment is the miracle of healing, the gift of healing. So the best gift, we are to desire these gifts, and it's not wrong to desire these gifts. In fact, we're exhorted to desire the gifts. Say, desire it. And so Paul taught, but Paul also taught, and we'll go back to this now, this gift of tongues. Paul also taught that there is a specific gift, one of those nine, that helps to release the flow of the rivers. Remember, we've connected these water, the pool of Shalom, to God's blessing in our lives, to the rivers of living water being released from our innermost being. But Paul also taught that one of these nine gifts is linked to helping us release the flow of those rivers of living water. And I see that from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says in verse 6, it says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God. If you have it on the screen, you can put it up. But you remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a calm, well-balanced mind. Go back to the first part of the verse. I want to focus on that first. I remind you to stir up. So we are able to do something, to stir something up. The gift of God that was in you by the laying on of my hands. Now, when reading the book of Acts, which gift do we see was given by the laying on of hands? We read it this morning, so I won't do it again this afternoon. Acts chapter 19, as an example. There are others. But in Acts 19, Paul went to the believers and, I won't read it. It's too many verses. I'm cognizant of time, you know. So anyhow, I read it this morning. You can watch it online. Go back to the Timothy verse. He laid hands on the believer, these disciples who had yet to receive or even hear that there was a spirit, and they were filled with the spirit and began to speak in other tongues. This is the gift that we learn about in the New Testament that is received through the laying on of hands. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. This is the gift that's being referred to. And so Paul says, I laid hands on you, Timothy. You received the gift. Now use that gift to stir up the gift of God that's in you. In other words, to stir up the baptism, to stir up the filling, to stir up the river. Use that gift you've received. Use that ability to pray in an unknown tongue, an unknown language. Use it to stir up all the other gifts. It's an amazing reality. Only the gift of praying in tongues is received through the laying on of hands. And secondly, it is the only gift of the nine gifts that I read earlier that we can operate at will. You can't just willy-nilly, I'm going to operate in the working of miracles, yeah? It has to come in the moment. Or the gift of knowledge, gift of wisdom. It's not just, I'm doing it now. No, you really have to lean in and depend on the Holy Spirit to flow through you in that moment and for that to work. But the believer's gift of praying in other tongues is the only gift that I can initiate and activate anytime I choose. Anytime. I can stop it too, so don't let the people who made you think it was like you were in a trance being taken over by a spirit and they couldn't stop. No, they can stop. They just choose not to. But anyhow, but this gift of praying in other tongues, it's used to stir up that gift that's within us, this gift of the Holy Spirit. And see, he said, I remind you, Timothy, listen, if Timothy needed it from time to time, I'm sure I do. I'm sure you might as well, yeah? Timothy was a great man of God, used by God in a mighty way. Paul said to him, remember, stir up the gift. Say, stir it up. Stir it up. That stir, it speaks of fanning into flame the embers. You know when you're having a campfire? I still remember when Megan used to be involved in the youth. You've heard this story, right, Vera? The youth, or I don't know if it was Megan, but anyhow, the youth went camping. It was Megan, yeah? Okay. Joanna reminds me. And they went camping, and so they were on a campsite, and some of the youth, they thought that, the fire had died. You know, at the end of the night, the fire dies down. There's no more fire. But how many know, even if it looks black on the top of the charcoals, there could be even embers beneath. How many know that? So they scooped up all the embers. They're thinking, okay, we're going to put out the fire. We're going to bed now. So they somehow scooped it all up and threw it in the garbage can. The next thing they knew, they had a big old bonfire going in that garbage can, right? Because the embers, they still had life in them, and boom! It just exploded. they got a rude awakening that night. But the point is that, when we receive Christ, we have the Spirit in us. And Paul's saying, listen, it could grow that zeal, that power, that energy, that life. It could grow dormant at times, still there. But he's saying, through this wonderful gift you've received, you can stir it up, like stirring the embers and back into a flame. That's a beautiful thing. We're not just helplessly wandering through the universe, hoping one day that the Holy Spirit zaps us. Yeah? Oh, he'll zap you, but you can stir it up yourself. Yeah. If you want to call it a zap, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. But if you want to stir it up, stir it up. Right? I love that. We're not helpless. He's given us this ability. Yeah. It's a beautiful ability. And that's why sometimes we are beings with emotions and feelings. And so God uses emotions. He uses feelings. I love sensing his presence, right? And what was I going to say about that? I forgot my train of thought. Oh, yeah. That's why sometimes we can be more in a flow than others. You can feel that flow. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is any more with us or not. It means that I am more in tune with what he's doing. And the good news is that this ability, praying in other tongues allows me to get in sync. If you feel dry in life sometimes as a believer, you can pray in tongues and begin to, again, draw out the water of the pool of Siloam, Serpent Rock, and water your life. It's an incredible opportunity. So again, this isn't about hierarchy or elitism. It's about if we're going to be a blessing to people around us, if you're so depressed and so hard done by that you can barely say hello to somebody, how in the world are you going to be spread the gospel? You know what I'm saying? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is about strengthening us as believers to be able to do that which we've called to do. And if we can barely get up out of bed in the morning because I'm so depressed, how in the world am I going to turn the world upside down for Jesus? Yeah? So the holy baptism of the Holy Spirit is about Jesus through us. Nothing to do about your righteousness or your sanctification. It has to do about you being a powerful force on this earth. And I know we want to because our spirit man in us, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Your spirit person in you is just revving up saying, yeah, I want to turn the world upside down for Jesus. Amen? Our mind goes like, yeah, but I don't think I'm ready for that. That's our mind. And mine thinks the same way too. I don't know if I'm ready for that. Where's the money going to come from? Where's this going to come from? But our spirit person is saying, yeah, I'm ready. Yeah? Can you sense that? No. Okay. All right. Anyhow, you don't want to admit it. So, here we go. Where am I for time? 2:17. All right, we're okay. Can you handle this? I'm coming in for the sort of landing here. Yeah, is it okay? All right, keep going. All right. So from this verse we just read, how we can stir it up, Paul then links this to in verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. four strategic benefits in our lives. And again, he's talking about stirring up this gift, praying in other tongues. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a calm, sound mind. Number one, the spirit of fear is silenced. Fear is a terrible virus, a terrible force. God never intended for us to live in fear. You know, I think the evils of this world stem out of fear. Selfishness is basically me being afraid. I'm not going to have enough for myself, so I try to hoard. Everything rooted in fear. Fear motivation. The opposite of fear is love, right? God's love casts out fear. Fear is from the devil. God never intended us to live by fear. He doesn't send it. In fact, think about it. When did fear enter? Adam and Eve sinned and fear entered in. Before sickness, before poverty, before lack, before disease, fear entered. They sinned and their mind, their spiritual understandings were darkened and fear entered into this world. Fear is not, there's a healthy fear. I understand that. I'm talking about that slavish type of fear. It's not from God. It's not from God. And if we don't give in to fear, if we can somehow resist fear, the devil will have no hold in our lives. He won't. The devil gets a hold in our lives because of fear. The wrong type of fear. I understand there's a good fear. You know, listen, if your car's running off the cliff, you better put on your brakes. Good type of fear. But I'm talking about that slavish type of fear. Fear of failure. Fear of rejection. Fear of, you know the fears, yeah? Fear is horrible. Ruin your life. Make it miserable. Make it a living hell. And so, but it's not from God. And God has given us this gift. He's saying, listen, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And he links it to stirring up that which is within us. Stirring up the love. And you know, it's one thing, you know, fear in so many ways is a spiritual force. How many know you can say till you're blue in the face, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. You can tell somebody, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And yet they're still afraid. Or I'm still afraid. In some ways, it's a spiritual force. And so to be able to deal with it from this spiritual level, and I know that when I'm stirring up this gift within me, it's dealing with the fears in my life. Yeah? And you know from experience, if you speak in other tongues, you know, sometimes the feelings don't come immediately. You're praying, you don't feel the fear dissipate immediately. But as you continue to pray day after day, one day you just wake up or it hits you during the day, and just suddenly a revelation comes and, oh, I'm not dealing with that fear anymore. What's that? You're drawing out of the rivers of living water within. Amen? Dealing with fear. This is the rough fear robs us of the quality of life. That's what Jesus is talking about. You know, fear of so many things. I used to fear getting married. Can you imagine that I wouldn't be a good husband? That was my fear. Thank God I got over it. I got married 19 years ago. But, you know, we fear a lot of things. We fear failure so we don't launch out in business. We fear a lot of different things. We fear rejection. That's why we really don't step out in a lot of things. Eh? And so God has given us this gift to help us overcome that spirit of fear. And we can stir it up. Say, stir it up. Secondly, he links this to the spirit of power. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Power released in our lives. That power speaks of dunamis or dynamite. The Holy Spirit will make you more powerful. And he certainly has for me. You know my story. You don't know my story yet, so I'll talk to you. They're the only two in the room that don't know my story yet, so I'll just talk to them right now. But anyhow, when I was asked to preach 8 years ago, I fainted. I just fainted. I was so scared of preaching, yeah? So true story. So anyhow, for the rest of you, you already know that story. But anyhow, I was very timid and shy. I've had to learn to let the Holy Spirit work through me to have a sense of boldness. Amen? And so I know what I'm speaking of when I say the Holy Spirit can take you from a timid person and give you boldness. Yeah? Turn you into another person. And I had to experience that the hard way, but thank God I experienced it. Amen? And I had my reasons for being fearful and timid, and I won't go into all that right now. You don't need my sob story, do you? But anyhow, you know, when Jesus did miracles, often the word used for it was dunamis. For example, when Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood, he said, I felt power go out of me. That's dunamis, or power. Jesus perceived that going out of him. And the Holy Spirit wants to work that same dunamis, Holy Spirit power in each of our lives as believers. And the greatest example of that in the scripture is Stephen, of course. Stephen was not a preacher, not an apostle. He was one who was a part of the church community. He was known. He was planted, but the scripture says he waited on tables. But he was so filled with the Holy Spirit that God worked signs, wonders, and miracles through him. He got himself in a lot of trouble. He was a martyr, put to death for his faith because his words were so eloquent and so piercing that they got angry with him. The non-believers got angry with him and they put him to death. He had a spirit of excellence upon him. His mind was sharp. This was the work of the Holy Spirit. This was the power working through him. And I love that it wasn't a preacher. It was just a regular, we're all regular, by the way. I am extremely regular, so I don't want to say it that way. What's another way of saying it? He was just one of us, amen? He was a believer like one of us. And yet he operated in the gifts of the signs, wonders, and miracles. So this isn't just for, you know, the whoever preaching, yeah? So power, say power. Number three, love, spirit of love. So again, we're stirring up this gift and it's connected to love. The spirit of love is released in our lives. Love, it's an amazing thing to love others. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, he said in verse 4, anyone who speaks in a tongue strengthens himself or edifies, but the word is strengthen himself. So it's really about us being strengthened so I can be a blessing. But the one who prophesies strengthens the church or edifies the church. I want you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. So it's not one or the other. It's do it all, right? Do it all. But it's about being a blessing to others, and it's love is the motivator. And to me, it's like one of those rechargeable batteries. You know, sometimes sometimes the love you feel in your heart towards your brothers and sisters, your neighbor, even yourself sometimes, yeah, can get a little bit low. Yeah, you ever experienced that? A little bit low on the love meter? I am so grateful that I can recharge my love meter by stirring up this gift from within. Yeah? Isn't that amazing? When I don't feel like loving, I can stir it up. Hopefully it makes me more romantic. I got to tap into that river soon, you see? I got to tap into the romantic river. Some of you are looking at me like I've lost my mind, but anyhow. How many know we go from glory to glory? It's progressive revelation. Yeah, so I'm still stirring up that gift. Yeah, but anyhow. All right, getting off track. But how many know that the scriptures teach us the way to operate in these gifts of the Spirit, the best way is love. Yeah? Paul talked about, he talked about the gifts, desire the gifts. AJ's feeling he's going to need to stir himself up after this because I'm moving around too much. He hates it when I move because the camera's jiggling and he's on the camera there. But anyhow, but how many know, Paul talked about the gifts of the Spirit and desiring them. And then he says, but the way to operate in them is love. Yeah? Now, some have used that errantly to say, well, you don't need the gifts anymore. You just need love. No, we need both. You got to operate in the gifts by love. Now, the gifts will operate without love, but people aren't going to, they'll stop receiving them shortly if you don't have love, right? Love will keep you from cheating people, for example. So if you can operate in the gifts of the Spirit because they're grace, but if you're cheating them at the same time, they'll eventually find out and then they'll want nothing to do with you and your gifts are, you know, they're just you and your church mouse, as Pastor Peter says. You know, so we need love so people will receive it, but the gifts are by grace, but we need love. And so I'm so grateful. You know, you can stir up this compassion. You know, the gifts of Jesus was moved with compassion and worked and moved in signs, wonders, and miracles. He healed the sick. And we need that same compassion in our lives to operate in these gifts. And so, but the good news is we can. And that's why Paul said, you know, I love what, actually not Paul, John G. Lake. How many are familiar with John G. Lake? Great Canadian healing evangelist. If you don't know about him, Google him. He was a powerful man of God, no longer alive, but a Canadian, powerfully moved in the gifts of the Spirit. He said, tongues have been the making of my ministry. It's that peculiar communication with God when God reveals to my soul the truth that I utter to you day by day in the ministry. Those who operate in this gift operate in the miraculous and see signs, wonders, and miracles. Isn't that amazing? It's been the making of my ministry. The gift of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit is the gateway into the operation of these gifts. And so it's a wonderful gift we have. We can stir it up, including love. Say love. And lastly, this is my last point, soundness of mind. What did he say? He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a calm, well-balanced mind. And I love this because our critics of those of us who speak in tongues, they would say we're Looney Tunes and out to lunch, right? And they did that on the day of Pentecost. They said they're mad. And so they still say that of us today. But does that make us stop? Do we get angry? No. We're just humbled by grace, yeah? But nonetheless, tongues gives us a sound mind. Sound mind. You're looking at me like, really? You know, it does. I read a report, and some of you heard this already, but I like to remind myself of this. New York Times reported on November 7th, 2006, a research report from University of Pennsylvania, and it said, contrary to what may be a common perception, the study found that people who speak in tongues rarely suffer from mental problems. That'd be a good answer for all our problems going on today in the world, all our mental illnesses. Speak in tongues, according to New York Times. How about that? You say, but I know someone who has the gift of tongues and they are mentally ill. Well, you don't know if they use it or not, right? You have to use the gift to... I talked to somebody recently, they say, oh, I have the gift, but I haven't spoken in 3 years. Again, if I can have a hammer, but if I don't build nothing, what's the value of it, right? Don't feel condemned. Please, don't ever feel, there's no condemnation in Christ. Just simply pick up the tool again and use it, amen? So the New York Times said, in the study that found that those who engage regularly speaking in other tongues were more emotionally stable than those who did not. They found it affected the area that reacts to stressful situations in a positive fashion. This is a gift so valuable in my marriage, in my business, in all that I do. Because how many know we shipwreck our lives making bad decisions in times of crisis, including businesses. You see CEOs, you read about them in the newspaper. They make just dumbheaded decisions in times of crisis. We need clarity of thought. That's why I say this gift is for business people, for every one of us. Yeah? Can I hear an amen? Amen. To be able to respond in a positive fashion. It's amazing. And it has a positive effect on health. Now, this wasn't by the New York Times. This is by Oral Roberts University, so they have a bias. I understand. They're Christians. But nonetheless, how many know it's still a good report, eh? A good report, yeah, by a doctor. And it said that, you know, through researching, they found that as we pray in our heavenly language, it activates a part of our brain that releases two chemical secretions that are directed into our immune system, giving a 35 to 40% boost to our immunity, promoting health in our bodies. Amazingly, this secretion is triggered from a part of the brain that no other apparent activity in humans, and is only activated by our spirit-led prayer. Isn't that incredible? Incredible. They hooked them up there to those machines and all that, and they discovered this. Again, where did we start today? We started by Jesus linking the work of the Holy Spirit to this Old Testament prophecy where they drew water out of the pool of Siloam, and it brought provision and protection to their lives. What are we talking about here from Timothy? Provision and protection for our lives. Everything we need. Amen? Last story of a true story, a 70-year-old man who decided to build up his immune system against having more heart problems by praying in other tongues. Two of his arteries were 70% blocked and five smaller vessels were 80% blocked. He later shared that when he went for his medical checkup, his surgeon found that all the blockages in his blood vessels were gone and the surgeries were called off. Amazing. So, I'm grateful for that gift. Amen. As I said this morning, can you receive the baptism without the gift of tongues? Yes. But it's a nasty question, right? It's like that old Buckley's cough medicine. You remember Buckley's cough medicine? What was the slogan? It tastes awful, but it does good, right? And so sometimes we treat the Holy Spirit like that. Oh, it's an awful thing. I don't want to. It's not awful. I'm not saying that, by the way. But we, you know, it's kind of like a necessary. No, that's not it at all, right? It's a wonderful gift. A wonderful gift. But again, it's not the big deal. The big deal is the baptism, the explosion of God's love in our heart. But it's a tool that activates that. It's a wonderful gift. So I'm grateful for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm done teaching here this afternoon. But again, that feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, is a picture of God's provision and protection in the wilderness, surrounded by the serpent rock. The water is a picture of prosperity and blessing in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And again, that water ceremony that it is a picture of accessing what's in our hearts. We can draw on the living waters as we give thanks. We can do that in our understanding, and we can do that in our spiritual language. But how many know sometimes the scripture says we have a weakness, that we don't know how to pray as we ought. And often that weakness is motivation. We just don't want to give thanks. How many have ever been grumpy? Don't show me a high show of hands. You're just grumpy, discouraged, and you don't want to give thanks. How many just me. But anyhow, it's a wonderful thing to have this. It says when we don't know how to pray as we ought, in that weakness, the Holy Spirit prays through us with groanings and utterings that cannot be uttered. Amen? So it's a help for us in times of weakness. I don't know what to pray, right? I don't know how to pray for my loved one. My spirit prays, the mysteries. We talked about all that in more detail this morning, but we pray mysteries. The Spirit knows these things. Amen? Why don't we all stand across the room right now? Let's just take a moment and give God thanks. You can wait just, Michelle. You can wait worship. Or Glenn, you come and just strum a little bit. We'll wait on the worship team here. We're just going to practice it in our own ways. You know, Michelle's doing such a good job. You'll just listen to her and not activate your own mouth as we get. So I want us to activate her. We'll have her come up again in just a minute's time. Let's just take a moment right now. We're going to pray, as I said this morning, and ask our prayer team to help me as well. But maybe you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll pray for that in a moment. But let's just take about 2 minutes, shall we say. And let's just activate this wells within us and begin to give God thanks. If you pray in tongues, go ahead and pray in tongues as well. Let's activate that gift. Maybe you haven't been praying so much in tongues. Don't take condemnation. That's from the enemy. Just activate it. You know, condemnation will keep you from starting again. It'll make you feel so bad you won't even want to pray. So just shake it off and pray. All right? Let's pray. Father, I thank you today. We worship you. We stir up that gift. We give you thanks today for all your goodness. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for the blessings in our lives. We thank you for all you've done, your provision, your protection. We thank you for your life, how you saved us and redeemed us and how you rescued us and how you heal us and how you bless us. We thank you, Father. We thank you today. We worship you today, Jesus. We worship you. We thank you how you've have been so good and gracious and kind toward us. While we were still your enemies, you loved us and called us and reached out to us and how you loved us. While we still wouldn't give you the time of day, you loved us first. Lord, I thank you for that today. And we thank you for this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit who works with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being abiding with us always and making us your temple. Lord, I thank you that your presence lives with us always. And I thank you that you equip us and empower us with everything we need for the assignments of life, Lord. I thank you for this now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we worship you today. Jesus, I thank you. Amen. Amen. We're going to have a time just of receiving here this afternoon. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it would be my honor to pray with you. What do I encourage to do if you have that mindset? You say, I want to receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in other tongues. And, you know, first of all, I would say receive. Receive. You know, receiving, you already have the Holy Spirit. Let that be settled. You've been sealed with the Spirit. But receiving means desire it. You've got to desire it. The Holy Spirit, if you don't want it, the Holy Spirit's not going to force it. You have to desire it. And that word receive means to take hold of it. It's like in sports, if someone passes you a ball, you get in position to receive it. It's been given to you, but you have to receive it. So, number one, desire, receive it. Secondly, recognize that you're qualified to receive. You're qualified to receive. I remember I read a quote by John Osteen, Joel Osteen's father. And, you know, this lady was asking him, she wanted to be baptized in the Spirit, but she thought she had a hidden sin she hadn't known about and hadn't confessed. And of course, if there's sin, we want to get rid of it. But at the same time, when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said to her, listen, if Jesus thinks you're good enough to go to heaven, don't you think he thinks you're good enough to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yeah? I mean, if you're qualified to receive the great S, which is salvation, don't you think you're qualified to receive the lesser? And of course, we're not qualified. We're only qualified by grace is the point. It's not through our merit or our effort. So, you know, you say, well, I don't know if I've confessed every sin. I don't know if I've gotten rid of it all. That's not the point here today. Invite the Holy Spirit into your daily lives, and he'll give you the strength to overcome those sins. That's what we need, the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we have this idea the Holy Spirit won't move if there's sin in our lives. And again, I don't want sin in our lives for a moment. But the truth is, as long as we're trying to battle sin in our own strength without inviting his grace and the Holy Spirit to work with us, we're going to battle that till the end of our lives. But when we allow Jesus, who is the same nature of the Holy Spirit, he was attracted to the sinner. Why? Because his grace transformed them. Can you imagine if Jesus had that attitude? Well, you clean yourself up, you fix yourself up, and then I'll come visit your home, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus would have been messed up till he died. But Jesus went to his home, he brought grace to his home, and he was transformed. So receive the Holy Spirit. Whether you may feel like the biggest scoundrel today, receive the Holy Spirit. He'll fix you. Yeah? In a good, loving way, of course, yeah, but he'll fix you. So receive it by grace. Amen? Second, thirdly, we're going to pray, just like they did in the book of Acts. They just prayed. They didn't make it, on the day of Pentecost, they were waiting, but we don't have to wait anymore. We just receive. Take hold of it and receive. Pray. They did. They prayed, they laid hands on them, and they received the gift. And that was my experience. I know I was baptized in the Spirit, and at the initial baptism, I did not speak in tongues. Later on, I was in a church service. They taught me about it, and I went forward, and I said, I'd like to receive that gift too. And so I did. It was a very simple matter. And that the second time when I received the gift, it wasn't a great emotional thing, but it certainly has produced much in my life now for today, right? But it just take it by faith. And then fourthly, and this is important, it's a language given to you. You know, this is sometimes the biggest hang-up we have is that we don't understand what we're expecting. You know, my son is in French immersion. He's learning French. One thing I've learned about him when he learns French, he uses his mouth. Bonjour, comment ça va bien? Yeah, oui, oui. Right? But notice, my mouth is speaking a language, yeah? And our errant thinking, sometimes we feel the Holy Spirit is going to speak through me. No, evil spirits do that. The Holy Spirit gives you a new language. You speak the new language. It's your language, you speak it. There isn't some force within you that just takes over your vocal cords and makes you speak. That's not it. If that's it, that's probably an evil spirit. This is the Holy Spirit who gives you a new language, and then you begin to speak it. That's how it works. So if we don't open our mouths and allow that new language, by faith, stepping into the water and letting that language flow, that's why we're waiting and hoping. But the Holy Spirit does not just, we're not mannequins. The Holy Spirit takes over our lips and just starts, maneuvering them. Doesn't work that way. Amen? And I'm grateful for that. How many want to be, just forced into something? No, he gives you a gift. Say it's a gift. And it's a language, just like you learn French, but it's not a mental learning, it's a spiritual learning. So you got to step out in faith. And then lastly, obey. It's about obedience. Jesus said, you'll be baptized in the Spirit, baptized in fire. And Jesus said, he'll do it. And yeah, I understand that sometimes, people, there's a controversy about it. Some of your religious friends might just look down upon you for it. I get that they did in the days of Acts. But how many know that this gift is that so valuable that it's worth being obedient and surrendering to his will for our lives? Amen?
For more information about Toronto Celebration Church, please visit our website at TICC.ca.